seconds. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Middle of the week, brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be with you on the afternoon drive, and we have a lot to get into today. Yesterday, it was all football. Monday, I think it was all basketball. Today, we're going to focus heavily on the baseball diamond, both local and national. Some good stuff going on. We had the RPI released earlier today, so we know exactly where Carbon and Emery baseball and softball will be going. You can get the complete RPI look right now by visiting CastleCountryRadio.com. We'll talk more about that during the local sports segment. Plus, we're going to be joined today by Coach Jeff Cincineros. We'll talk about the season for Carbon. The Dinos earning the right to host a home playoff game. That's a big deal. That'll be this Saturday. They get a familiar opponent in South Sevier. Also, a strong possibility they get Grantsville in the second round. And so we should have some great baseball this weekend. Emory, on the other hand, they're going to be on their way to JUAB. We'll catch up with Coach Rob Smith a little bit later on in the week. And then we have to talk Major League Baseball. Some weird storylines right now. How bad are the Los Angeles Dodgers playing at the moment? They took a sweep in a doubleheader yesterday against the Chicago Cubs. Right now, the San Francisco Giants, they're the first place team in the NL West. Not the Dodgers, not the Padres. It is the Giants. However, the Giants losing right now to the Colorado Rockies in Colorado. San Francisco got up 2-0 early in this game, but Colorado putting together some big middle innings. That's a game that's going on right now, 4-2. We also have a game between the Cardinals and the Mets. The Cardinals may be the hottest team in baseball right now. They've won 5 straight. They've moved into first place into the Central Division. And it's really what's happening on the offensive side. Right now they're up 1-0 going into the fourth inning against the Mets. But the Cardinals' offense has really kicked it into high gear as of late. So, yeah, we'll talk more about this a little bit later on in the show. One final from earlier today, the Cincinnati Reds pick up a win 1-0. Yeah, they get a win 1-0 over the Chicago White Sox in this game. It goes to extra innings. It goes to 10 innings. So we had 9 innings of shutout baseball. There were only 7 hits in this game. I love that style of baseball. Jesse Winker, who's hitting .360 on the season, brings in the only RBI of the contest. Winker has just been playing lights out. Lucas Sims gets the win on the mound for the Reds, who are now 14-15 on the season. So that's a final from earlier today. We take a look at the other games still to come tonight. We get the Diamondbacks and the Marlins. I like this matchup a lot. Luke Weaver is going to be on the mound for Arizona. These are two teams that are on the cusp. Arizona's played better offensively as of late as well. And then Don Mattingly, he's got this Marlins team, really one of the more interesting teams in the National League. We get Atlanta and Washington at 5:05. I want to spend some time and talk about the Atlanta Braves today. Things have not worked out for this squad, at least not up to this point in time. Also coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, the Astros taking on the Yankees. New York has climbed all the way to number 2 in the AL East. Start time for this game at 5:05. Also on the 5 o'clock hour, we get the Brewers and the Phillies. The Red Sox will play host to the Tigers. We get the Dodgers and the Cubs at 5:30. And then at 5:40, it's the Rangers on the road to take on the Minnesota Twins. 6 o'clock hour tonight, Indians at the Royals. Kansas City has played some really good baseball. We'll talk AL ball a little bit later on in the show as well. We get the Pirates and the Padres. Padres trying to bounce back from a loss last night. The Mets will travel to meet the St. Louis Cardinals at 6:15. 2 nightcap games. That's Tampa Bay at the Angels. A team that just cannot figure it out. 3 games under 500 right now. and Mike Trout's hitting over 400. This team's still under 500 on the season. And then we get Toronto at Oakland. The A's right now, the best record in baseball. Was not that long ago. They had the worst record in baseball when they could not buy a win out of the gate. That's what's happening in Major League Baseball. Schedule in the NBA. Big game tonight for the Utah Jazz. They will take on the San Antonio Spurs. Start time for this game is set for 7 o'clock. Live coverage will begin at 6:50 here on KOAL. We'll send you out to David Locke and Ron Boone. Right now, Utah tied with Phoenix for the number one seed. San Antonio, on the flip side, a game and a half better than New Orleans for that 10th and final playoff spot. Remember to get into the play-in round. And you know the way this works, right? The play-in round. 7 will play 8, 9 will play 10. The loser of the 7 and 8 matchup will then play the winner of the 9 and 10 matchup. Really weird the way the NBA is going to do this play-in round. But San Antonio fighting for their playoff lives. It's a big game on both ends of the spectrum. The Jazz, they're not in immediate danger of slipping to that 3 seed. In fact, there's only 7 games left. They're 3.5 up on the Clippers. So at this point, Utah's in pretty good shape to stay in one of the top 2 spots. But a win would go a long way for the Jazz tonight. Again, start time for that game is set for 7 o'clock. 5 o'clock hour, we get Boston at Orlando. Portland will travel to meet Cleveland at 5:30. 6 o'clock hour, another big one that you have to follow if you're a Jazz fan. Phoenix at Atlanta. We get Sacramento tonight at Indiana. The Rockets will play host to Philadelphia. Milwaukee hosts Washington. We get Memphis at Minnesota. And the Knicks take on the Denver Nuggets. That Nuggets game is important as well. Denver loses to the Lakers earlier this week. They put forth a furious comeback in the fourth quarter. Could not overcome a deficit. Lost at the buzzer. The Nuggets right now, they're pretty much locked into that 4 spot. Unless they can climb to 3, they're a game back of the Clippers in the win column. So there is some importance in this game tonight as well. That's a look at what's happening in the national sports front. We're going to talk a lot of baseball here on the show. We'll get out for a quick commercial break. When we return, we'll give you the local sports recap, and we'll be joined by manager Jeff Cincinnatus of the Carmen Dinos. It's all straight ahead right here on Drive Time Sports.
There's no crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things. Play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow!
We're going to talk high school baseball. Earlier today, we had the announcement the final RPI was released, so now we know who's going where as far as the state championship tournament is concerned. We know the seeding front to back, the 16 teams that will be competing for a state title. For the Carbon Dinos, they are one of the top 4 teams in the 3A classification. That means they get to host games coming up this weekend. And we'll talk about the times of those games and everything else right now. Joining us over the phone, we have head coach Jeff Cincinnatus. And Coach, a pleasure as always. Thank you.
Thanks, Jordan. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, definitely, Coach. I know that the RPI, when they take it away from us, it adds a lot of intrigue. I was excited for 9 o'clock this morning, as I'm sure you were as well, knowing that you could probably fall anywhere from that number 3 to number 5 spot. And if you fall outside of that top 4, you don't get a host a home playoff matchup. So it was a great day for Carbon Baseball. You guys definitely earned that right, and you were rewarded with the 4 seed this morning.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a trying time when they pull the RPI a week out and make you sit and kind of wonder what's happening with it. And you don't know how playing games will affect you. You know, we went to ALA on Monday and played them, and you just don't know how that affects your RPI, you know, with the seeding and everything. So, you know, it was a well-anticipated 9 o'clock this morning to see this RPI revealed, and I feel really good with our 4 seed and that, you know, our team earned the right to post the first 2 rounds here at Carbon. And as you look at the whole RPI, you know, I think it's really put together for a specific reason of getting teams matched up and on sides of the bracket with what they've done throughout the year. And as I look at this, I mean, according to the team's records and who they played all year long, it's probably, you know, laid out as well as it could be. But yeah, we're excited to host on Saturday. You know, our kids worked hard for that all year long. I worked hard in putting a preseason schedule together that is as tough as possible, especially now with RPI meaning so much. You know, it can go 2 ways. It can hurt you if you're losing those games, but it can also help you with playing those teams in upper classifications and hopefully winning a few of those games as well. And, you know, I feel like our strength of schedule was a big reason why we finished where we're at. And even though our region may not have been as tough as the other regions this year in baseball, especially, I feel like our preseason schedule helped us with our RPI.
Coach, and with that, you get South Sevier first up, and this is a team that you are well familiar with, a squad that you saw twice in region play. It's another thing that the RPI can present. I mean, it doesn't matter what region you're from. In the old format, you would never get a region opponent in the first the opening round, but here you have South Sevier, and it's a team you're well familiar with.
Yeah, that's maybe the only drawback to the RPI system. You know, it's a tweak I'd like to see them make, that you don't have to play one of your region teams, at least in the first round game of the state tournament. You know, I mean, what happens after a first round, you never know in any state tournament, but usually a first round opponent would never be a region opponent. And in this case, it happens to be South Sevier, and I'm sure there's other teams, when you look down the bracket, they're playing region teams in the first round again. And you'd like to not see that happen, but, you know, unfortunately, the way the RPI worked out and played out, that's who we get, and we're gonna focus our attention on South Sevier that first game on Saturday, and hopefully move on and see who we get in the second round. But right now, I'm just excited about the opportunity to host and moving forward with this state tournament and just continuing to play more baseball.
Now, Coach, we'll talk about the first two matchups with South Sevier. You and I had a brief conversation about it during that last break. 7-1, 11-4, two games in which you guys dominated. You won fairly handily, but it wasn't your best baseball.
No, you talk about, you know, winning two games and really feeling like you were in control of both games, which I really felt like we were. But, you know, I don't feel like we played really good baseball in either one of those games. We played those in a week where we had seven games in that week. It was a week we traveled down to St. George for a tournament. We ended up with seven varsity games that week. Granted, we did play these two games before we headed that way, and so it wasn't a matter of being fatigued, but I think as you're looking at it and trying to prepare to play seven games in a week, you know, we may not have been completely focused and given South Sevier our full attention and did some things there. But, you know, no excuses. South Sevier plays tough, and we were fortunate to come away with two region wins and things. You know, they're going to get our full attention right now, and we're going to focus up on what we need to do there and break them down again, pitching-wise and hitting-wise, and do what we have to do. But, you know, two games clearly we were in control of both games. But, you know, high school baseball is an unforgiving sport some days. And any given day, a team can walk on your place and give you a game that you're not looking forward to and come up with a win. You know, that's the beauty of high school sports. It doesn't matter what it is. I mean, you got to make sure your kids show up every day prepared. And days when they don't show up, you know, a lot of things can happen. So that's my job right now, to make sure we're prepared for Saturday, as is it South Sevier's, you know, coach's job to get his team as prepared as they can be and come to play us. And you know, I'm sure everybody's looking forward to Saturday. And you're probably going to see a few games, you know, go a different direction, in some different pods than you might think they'll go. I hope that, you know, we're on the top end of our pod, but you never know what happens in high school baseball.
Again, our guest right now, manager Jeff Cincinnatus of the Carbon Dino baseball team. Again, Carbon will go toe-to-toe with South Sevier in the opening round of the 3A state championship tournament that'll take place this Saturday. Coach, you guys have come to an agreement on the times as well. I know the default times are 10 a.m. and 12:30 p.m., but you guys have shifted these. It'll be more afternoon.
Yeah, so we have the luxury, we're probably the only pod with the luxury of having, you know, two wonderful fields to play on. So instead of spreading that out the entire day and playing, you know, in one field and having four different game times, we're going to play at the same time on both of our fields here in Price. We did move those times after speaking with everybody in our pod to noon and 3 o'clock. So, you know, the first game of the day will be at noon on both fields. Hopefully give us about an hour break in between the first games to the second game, give us a chance to get both fields put back in order and ready to go again. So right now those times are slated for noon and 3 p.m. on Saturday. I believe we have Manti and Grantsville are the other two teams in our pod that will be here. So Manti and Grantsville will be playing on the south field at our complex, and then, of course, us in South Sevier will be on our home varsity field, which is the north field. So, you know, exciting time. They will be charging at the gate to get in at the parking lot on the north side. Before you can pull in the parking lot, they will charge to get in, and then they will also be charging before you come down off the football field. You know, with this being state games, they are allowed to charge a gate to help pay for umpires and whatnot. Normally, baseball doesn't see a gate. It's one of the sports that in high school you don't ever have a gate being charged at home games or whatnot. But for the state tournament game, there will be a gate. And so, you know, I want people to know that before they can even pull in the parking lot on that north field and sit up in their vehicle and watch a game, they will have to pay to get in. You know, and I hope everybody understands what that money goes for, and just to help out with the cost of everything and whatnot. But just want to remind everybody of that as well.
Coach, we'll talk about the potential second round matchup. It could be Grantsville, and this was the importance of getting that four opposed to getting the five spot in the RPI. If you're the five, you're going to Grantsville on Saturday. Boy, it's a hell of a lot nicer to stay home in Price than have to drive to Grantsville. This is a good team, and it's a team that you guys have already seen once this year, and I don't want to discredit the rest of the bracket. I don't want to say anything bad about Manti, but odds are we're going to see Grantsville in the second round, and this could be a very interesting matchup.
Yeah, you know, Grantsville's a quality program. You know, a couple years ago we suffered a state championship loss to them. I mean, they always put a quality team on the field. We got an opportunity to go to Grantsville early in the season and play them on their home field, and was successful, knowing very well that, you know, there's a potential we could see them again this time of the year. Matter of fact, their coach, you know, made the comment to us, you know, we'll see it at the beginning of May, and he's probably right. I mean, we probably will see each other, you know, this weekend. And, you know, it's a challenge that I think our guys are welcoming to play them once again. And but obviously a team we can't take lightly. They played extremely good baseball here, especially the last couple weeks in that region, most recently taking two out of three games from the number two team in RPI in Judge Memorial. And that's not an easy thing to do. So can't take anyone lightly, and let alone when you have, you know, the five seed. I mean, as far as you look at it, when you're hosting and you're a top four seed, I mean, you're getting the next best team below you, which is the five seed in the second round. And so, you know, what we tell our guys, and I'm sure everybody tells everybody the same thing, look, you've got to beat the best if you want to be the best. Whether you play them in the first round, second round, you know, fourth round, state championship game, whatever it is, you're going to have to beat the best team out there if you want to be the best team. And so we just can take it one game at a time. You know, if Grantsville happens to be the team we see in the second round, then great. You know, we're going to take that challenge and meet that challenge head on when it's presented to us. And I'm sure they're looking forward to the same thing. But, again, we got to get past the first-round team, as do they. Nobody can look past anybody when it comes to, you know, a game of baseball. But, you know, we're just excited again. And if it's Grantsville, I like our matchup with them. You know, I'm not sure what we've seen from them as far as the pitching staff goes the first time we played them, but, you know, same thing with us. I mean, we have pitchers that they probably did not see the first time around that they're going to see this time around. And so games can change, and teams are a lot better now than they were, you know, a month ago. Everybody's been working hard, and so it's an exciting time. You know, good weather, hopefully on Saturday. It looks like 65 and sunny here in Price, which is awesome. I know we got the softball, you know, our girls softball team. I want to tell them congratulations as well. They're also a four seed, so they'll be hosting out the fairgrounds. So what a great day for baseball and softball in Carbon County. And hopefully we can get as many people out to watch both and support both programs as much as possible.
You definitely. Coach, it's always fun to get you on and talk about the team. Congratulations on getting to play host. Last question before I let you go. Hitting or pitching, bigger emphasis for you over the weekend?
And that's a tough one. You really want both to be the best they can be. I really feel like we have the deepest pitching staff in 3A when it comes down with the total amount of arms we have. I know there's some really good pitchers in 3A that have really shined. Some guys that throw the ball extremely hard and really have some good records, and they're going to be tough to beat. But you know, those guys can't throw every game for their respective team. And so when you look at it as a team sport and having to win, you know, as many games as you have to win in the state tournament in a short amount of time with pitching, you know, I really feel like we have, you know, an advantage there if our guys will throw well. And if you look at it, we gave up the least amount of runs in 3A this year. Our pitching staff did an awesome job. We had games where we struggled a little bit with walks, and that hurt us, and it's something we can't do this weekend. But I really feel if our pitching is on par, that our hitting will be good enough to take over and score runs. And it's been good all year. Our sticks have been well all year. We've done a nice job hitting the ball. You know, we've just had some time when we slumped on the mound and made a few errors here and there. So I'm gonna put the biggest emphasis on our pitching staff and say if we'll hold teams down that we're gonna score enough runs for them. And you know, I mean, before I get off, I want to tell my team how proud of them I am, and congratulate them on their accomplishment this year. You know, region championship was a goal of ours. Obviously, a state championship is our next goal. But these kids worked hard to earn this first round and second round playoff at home. And you know, I told them a couple weeks ago when we slipped up. You know, it could have cost us a home playoff, and I'm glad that it didn't. I'm glad that, you know, our body of work throughout the year proved where we need to be, and I want them to know how proud I am of them and know that they, you know, if they'll bring it every day from here on out, the good things are going to happen for them. And so, again, I'm excited, and, you know, maybe to answer your question, I'll put it on our pitching staff, but we're going to need to be good on all three phases of the game if we expect to win a state championship.
Coach, always fun to chat with you. Thank you again. Best of luck on Saturday. We'll catch up next week.
Thanks, Jordan. Appreciate it.
Always fun to get Coach Cisneros on the show. We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. We're going to flip over to the national side of things. We'll talk Major League Baseball. Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher, will join us for his weekly conversation. That's coming up next here on Drive Time Sports.
Pitch to Bellinger. He swings and he hits a high fly ball right center field. This ball's gone!
Now 3-1 for Acuna. Swinging a high fly ball! Deep to left field! Way, way back! It's gone!
Live, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Time for our weekly baseball chat with former big league player Bill Lasky, now of KNBR, who does pre- and post-game coverage for the San Francisco Giants, the first-place San Francisco Giants, 30 games into the season, San Francisco at 18-20. In fact, that's the best record in the National League, close to being the best record in all the big leagues. It's been bizarre so far. We'll talk about that more, and again, Bill joining us over the phone right now. Bill, pleasure as always. Thank you.
It's always a good pleasure to talk baseball, and you're absolutely right. The Giants are playing good baseball, but lost the second game of a doubleheader, which they should have won. They were down 6-2, and sure enough, the Rockies put on a show and ended up pulling that game out. And you know what? It would have been nice to sweep the Rockies, but at the same time, you know what happens in Colorado. You never have enough runs.
Never have enough runs, never. Breaking balls don't necessarily break quite well, especially right now when you look at the way the weather's been in Colorado. It's cold. It's not typical May weather that affects things.
It sure does. And you know, yesterday they were saying on TV the rain was coming down so hard, the wind was blowing, outfielders were under the ball. Next thing you know, they were 6 feet to the left or 6 feet to the right because that last burst of wind kind of pushed that ball over. So it's a difficult place to play because the weather changes so much. And you know what? It's still National League West baseball. I'm just glad the Giants are playing good baseball. It's great to follow them right now.
Yeah, we'll talk about the NL West in just a moment, Bill, but I do want to focus on the arguably the hottest team in the bigs right now. It's the St. Louis Cardinals. They've won five straight. Now, all of a sudden, they are in first place as far as the NL Central is concerned. This is a team that took care of the Phillies, sweeps the Pirates, gets a win over the Mets. It's a Cardinals team that is all of a sudden scoring a lot of runs. The Central Division may be the hardest to peg, I think, in all of baseball. I can see this working a couple of different directions. But the Cardinals' offensive production over the last five, six games has been a little bit more like I think we could have predicted at the beginning of the year.
I totally agree with you. And I tell you what, I watched the Brewers when they were playing the Dodgers. And, of course, they beat the Dodgers 3 out of 4. And I thought the Brewers were handling it well. And sure enough, I look back, and here's the Cardinals doing just better. And I think the Cardinals will have good faith. They got a good mixture of young and old. A lot of veteran players are leading the push. And of course, you know, all across Major League Baseball, the injuries are piling up. And I think the Cardinals got through those injuries, and now they're playing better baseball.
Yeah, you talk about the injuries piling up. Christian Yelich goes back onto the IL this is not good for the Brewers. Now, they do have some options in the outfield. You and I have talked about Jackie Bradley Jr. Look, it seems now that that particular signing may pay dividends for this squad moving forward, because for whatever reason, Yelich just cannot get over these back issues. One day after being activated, plays for the first time since April 11th, and then manager Craig Counsell comes out and says, he's going back on the injured list.
You know, I had some back issues when I pitched, and sometimes, you know, you feel great. You start moving around a little bit better. Now, as a hitter, it's totally different as a pitcher, but it's still the same kind of momentum. You feel better. I can do this. And then all of a sudden you make a swing or you make a pitch and you tweak it, and all of a sudden it stiffens up. And I think that's what he's going through right now. His back's strong enough, but it's not that everyday type player issue right now. So I think that's why they're pulling him back, saying, hey, we can't afford losing you for the entire season. We can see another couple weeks will hurt or help either way for him. But I think mentally he has to get over this, and it's so tough on back issues. Back problems are probably the worst. I'm sure a lot of your listeners have the same thing. It's just it goes day to day, and it's not like a normal injury. The back, we use our backs and lower backs so much that it has a tendency to stiffen up, even if you're just sitting down. So that's something that the Brewers are going to really have to look at for him.
When you look at the Central Division, is there a player more important to his team's success than Christian Yelich with the Brewers? Because I don't know if there is, Bill.
Not for that team. I think that's why they circled the wagons on him when they got him. And sure enough, you know, he had some great years. Now this year and last year, he struggled a little bit this year, just more of injuries. But he's a 5-2 player. He's great in the outfield. He's got good speed, of course. Love his quickness with the bat. That's one player. That's just like if the Giants lost Buster Posey. Buster Posey having a NL MVP season so far. And, you know, when that player's in that lineup, it makes everybody gravitate, work a little harder. But that's that player that needs to stabilize that lineup.
Two teams that we have talked a lot about over the last few weeks, Bill, that haven't lived up to expectations. The Atlanta Braves, they're 3 games under 500 right now. And the Los Angeles Dodgers, they've lost 8 out of 10. To me, those are the two big stories right now in the NL. Not to take anything away from the Giants being at the top spot, or not to take anything away from the Cardinals winning 5 straight, but just looking at the way these two teams have underperformed. And for the Braves, I can't really put my finger on it. This is a team that's allowed 146 runs. That's more than, I believe, is like top three in the National League as far as runs allowed. And then you look at the Dodgers, and they can't score runs. So it's kind of been odd watching these two teams move in opposite directions.
Especially when both you and I thought these teams were going to win their division. I'm still believing the Braves will bounce back. But, you know, you look at the Dodgers with so many injuries, with Bellinger being one, and then you look at the Braves, and they've had a handful of injuries, and their starting pitching has always been a struggle there. But I'm still moving forward with Atlanta kicking in. You know, we keep saying, hey, it's still early in the season. We're not even a third through the season yet. But I tell you what, we go back to these injuries. There's a ton of injuries on every team, but I think the Braves and the Dodgers got bit pretty good.
Yeah, the Dodgers lose Dustin May. They lose Corey Knebel. You mentioned Cody Bellinger. I know Zach McKinstry was off to a great start. He goes down. The only problem I have, Bill, when talking injuries with the Dodgers, I have a hard time listening to someone telling me the Dodgers aren't hitting the ball because they're not healthy, when that lineup still holds a Mookie Betts, a Corey Seager, a Justin Turner, and a Max Muncy. Those guys have been healthy.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to make excuses for the Dodgers, because they loaded up and their farm system is loaded. They just cannot get these guys going, and there's teams that are like that. And the Dodgers right now are in a slump, going to the Cubs, losing a doubleheader yesterday. They went to Milwaukee, lost 3 out of 4. This road trip is a road trip from hell for them. But at the same time, I'm just like, hey, get over it. They're like everybody else, you know. You're made all this money for all these pitchers, and Bauer gives it up yesterday. Kershaw goes the shortest time ever in his career. So don't think I'm wiping the tears out of my eyes watching the Dodgers lose, because this team's got to get over it and play baseball like everybody else.
No question. No question. Again, Bill Lasky, our guest right now as we jump around the big leagues. Bill, I do want to talk about another team in your area, the Oakland A's. It was a team that I picked coming out of the American League at the beginning of the season. They start off 0-6. I'm thinking, oh boy, that's a great prediction, isn't it? Then, since, they've gone 19-6, and now they've actually developed a 2-game cushion in the American League West. On top of that, they have the best record in all of baseball right now. The A's have been a fun story. You want to talk about the ups and downs. I mean, I remember the jokes when they were 0-6, people calling them the Oakland Pathetics. Now here they are, best record in baseball 30 games into a season.
And you know what? A good friend of mine, Bob Melvin's a manager. Nobody gives him what he deserves. He pulls that team together. He has very minor, small clubhouse meetings. You know, you look at this team, Chapman is just really struggling right now. If you get him hot, you know, and then you go right through that lineup. Olsen gets hit in the eye off of the L screen. He's got a black eye, comes out the next day and almost hits for the cycle. These guys are grinders. There's no doubt about it. And playing Toronto, of course, Simeon comes back and they give him a standing ovation. They give him a great video presence. I mean, I thought he would be an A forever. But I think the Oakland A's are that legit team. They're grinders. They work hard. They have different lineups in there. And their starting staff's putting it together. I mean, they could easily have a six-man staff. They got enough arms. And then you look in the bullpen, you got Petit, Romo, two guys that used to be Giants. They're pitching pretty well. And Diekman is their closer, and he's pitching the lights out. He always has. He seems like that's that guy that you can put him in any role in the bullpen, and he's going to come through for you.
Bill, let's go south here in the state of California. And one team that continues, I believe, to disappoint year in and year out, it is the Los Angeles Angels. And here we are again at 13-15. And when I look at this team, I know Anthony Rendon's missed about half the season so far. I get that. But you still have Mike Trout batting over 400 for the season. And you are two games under 500. I know baseball is more than one guy, obviously. But what is it going to take for this organization to finally play to its ability? Because it just seems like it's the same old story.
It's a head-scratcher. You and I have talked about this. I just don't know how they cannot win. I mean, they've loaded up. Otani's in there. Trout's in there. Of course, Rendon, like you said, has been hurt. Pujols has been playing so-so. Pitching's been subpar. And, you know, they get a two- or three-game win streak, and then they lose three or four. It's like they cannot get on a roll and be consistent. And you said it, Mike Trout's having the best year ever. And yet people are talking, oh, he's the early MVP. He's just going to rattle numbers all year. But I guarantee he's like, hey, don't look at me. Let's try to get this team winning. That's how Mike Trout works. But what can you do for him? I mean, the guy, like you said, he's hitting 450 and they're under 500. And they're trying to build pieces around him, but it's just not gelling. And I shake my head, too, because you look at their facility, beautiful Los Angeles, beautiful area to play in, you know, and they just can't gel right. And I think a lot of experts try to figure that out. And, you know, they've tried different managers. They've tried different, you know, hitting coaches and pitching coaches. And it just doesn't work. And great. Like I said, you got the best player in baseball, and you can't even be 500.
Yeah, and Angel fans would say I'm an idiot for saying this. You've never won a World Series with Mike Trout. You obviously cannot build around this guy, and you have one of the most unique talents that we have ever seen. At what point in time do you consider moving on from him? I mean, seriously, it's ridiculous to say. I understand that, but Bill, you're getting nothing out of this. You have one of the greatest players we've ever seen, and no matter what you do, you're getting nothing out of it.
I know it puzzles you, and you just wonder when's the time to let go, and what would you let go? It's a total rebuild of maybe 5-6 players, something like that. But what team is going to give you all the prospects for him unless they're already dialed in or so close to getting to the World Series? Because that's the only way you're going to take on that salary, and then you're going to give up your whole farm system for him, and then what happens? You know, so it's a hit or miss with him, but. I mean, I think the Angels just have to continue to keep doing what they're trying to do and getting parts to rebuild and seeing if they can build through free agency. And it's just not working. And to your point, when do you trade him? What do you trade him for? Are you ready to give up that kind of superstar? What do you think?
You know, as far as I'm concerned, when you have a superstar, and he is the face of the franchise, I get that. It's harder in my mind to let go of someone when you have won with them in the past. You know, we talk about legacy players. It's harder to let go of a legacy player when you look back at banners that are being hung. In this case, you've essentially wasted one of the best talents that we've ever seen. And so in my mind, you know, it's hard to I know here in the state of Utah, we have a lot of Angel fans with the Bees playing here. So it's hard to wrap your head around that conversation. But at what point in time, you don't want to get to that stage where you say, well, we just wasted probably the greatest baseball player of all time's talent. We have nothing to show for it. That's the problem I'm seeing right now with the Angels.
And it's true, and you're absolutely right. Everybody comes to watch him play. They watch Ohtani play, but they're not winning. So what time do you, as a factor of a fan, when you finally say, you know, why do we keep coming just watching a couple players play and they get a hit or a home run, but yet we're watching the opposing team win all the time, and that's what it seems to be like every year. You always try to think, oh, they could possibly do it. Same thing with the Mariners. The Mariners are holding on too, but in the Mariners, I look at more of a rebuild where the Angels are trying to put pieces together in free agency and building a pitching staff, you know, here and there. But if I'm an Angel fan, I would have to say, just like what you and I are talking about, when is the time we're going to win a World Series? What's the best forecast you're going to give me? And I don't think management can tell you that.
Yeah, because you've been trying to build, well, first it was putting pieces around Albert Pujols 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's, you know, for 10 years, you have not gone through a rebuild. You haven't gone through a rebuild. You've tried to put pieces around unique talent, and it hasn't worked. And I believe being an Angels fan would probably be more frustrating than being a Rockies fan, to be honest with you, Bill.
Boy, we could jump into that Rockies team, and you just scratch your head. I mean, you take Story out of that lineup. Blackman, of course, hit the home run yesterday, but really, nobody's really consistently playing well. Their pitching staff is walking the ballpark. I mean, you talk about Buddy Black being gray. He's going to go bald by him just pacing in the dugout watching these guys walk the ballpark. I would be frustrated as hell. And you look at this pitching coach coming out, I think I'd be screaming, not just talking. I'd be upset watching these guys. I mean, yesterday Marquez was just all over the place. It was pathetic. And, you know, this team's going to have to take a big shakeup. There's no doubt about it. I hate to see Buddy Black be removed, good friend of mine, and I think he's a brilliant manager, but there has to be some pieces let go, and they have to do some rebuild over there, and they got to get pitchers that can get ground balls, no doubt about it. You got to look for guys that have sinkers and off-speed pitch so you can get the ground ball than rather having teams lift. And some of these pitchers go in there with a Rockies bullpen, and they're going one-on-one fastball against hitters, and I don't think that's the way to approach pitching in Colorado, because you're going to lose more and win if you're just going to go in there and challenge them.
Bill Lasky, our guest today. Bill, always a pleasure to get you on. Of course, before I let you go, you got to let the listeners know where they can find more of you.
Yeah, at Lasky19 on Twitter. I jump on there here and there. I've been tweeting a lot. I've been doing a lot of homework here because I'm doing pre and post games on Saturday and Sundays, and been having fun riding this giant hot streak. They're playing well, and see if they can contend this weekend. Of course, the Padres are coming here. Last weekend, they went to San Diego and lost 2 out of 3. Really, 3 good games. But they're competitive this year, and that's what I like about the Giants. Farhan's done a great job, and it's just been good so far. And like I said, it haven't been a third of the season yet. I've got a long road ahead, and we'll just see how this National League West moves forward, because there really is everybody except the Rockies. I hate to say it, but even Arizona's playing better baseball.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. Bill, always great to get you on. Look forward to the conversation again next week. Thank you so much.
Always, my friend. Thank you so much, and have a good day.
We're going to take another quick commercial break. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. We're back to put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports. A lot of baseball talk today. We can give you a scoreboard update as to what's happening right now. Fifth inning, Cardinals up 2-1 on the Mets. The Cardinals are red hot right now. Longest win streak in baseball, looking for 6 in a row. Bottom of the first inning right now, no score between the Diamondbacks and the Marlins. And we talked about the finals earlier today. Cincinnati topping Chicago 1-0. And we had a no-hitter in Seattle. John Means throws a no-hitter for the Orioles as they topped the Mariners 6-0. That's the third no-hitter of the 2021 campaign, the second in the American League. He put together a brilliant outing in this contest. 9 innings, 0 hits, 12 strikeouts. Phenomenal performance. Baltimore 15-16, Seattle 17-15. So that's a look at the Major League Baseball scoreboard. Always a pleasure to be along with you on the afternoon drive. I want to thank Coach Cincineros and also We have to thank Bill Lasky for always taking out the time. Tomorrow, we'll flip sides. You'll hear Emory High School baseball. We'll be joined by Rob Smith. Plus, we'll talk some NBA basketball. Don't forget the Utah Jazz coming up tonight. Live coverage of that game will begin at 6:50. Tip-off is set for 7. We will catch you tomorrow. Be safe. I am out.